and welcome in from where we are to where you are. This is the Bad Clan Fantasy Football Podcast, Wednesday, October 4th. I'm your host, Blake, joined back on the podcast, joined by Rob and Tyler. How are we doing, guys?
Hey, we're doing good. Yeah, welcome back after a brief hiatus due to injury.
Yeah, I had to sit out a week to recover. I just got activated back to practice this week. So
I think it's better for our cap number if we just leave Blake on the IR all year and then make him a post June one cut.
Well, he is back rather quick from an ACL. I mean, 1 week absence is, you know, for an ACL is pretty quick.
some of us don't miss an episode with injury, but that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by that. I don't know when you were injured, but I was.
Listen, the best ability is availability, and guess who wasn't available last week?
You weren't available week one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I was available last week, just not available to you. Sorry.
Well, there you go.
My service is more of a premium than you can afford, Tyler.
Wow, that seems slightly harsh.
Hang on, you guys are getting paid?
Yeah,
I mean,
you're not.
What?
Yeah, well, technically we pay each other, so net we're not getting anywhere, I guess. So
yeah,
technically,
we each make $100 an episode. But
yeah,
Rob pays me and I pay him. So,
oh man, I'm out here getting paid in fucking Safe Moon still.
So you're losing money.
I'm thoroughly locked out of my account there, so that Safe Moon is lost. For me.
Yeah, same here. Last I saw it was under a penny, so it was, who cared?
Yeah, that's a $150 flush down the drain. Thanks, Chris. Yeah. Not to throw anybody under the bus.
Let's throw Chris under.
Anyway, what we're doing this week, we're going to try a little bit of a new, more streamlined episode for you guys. Try and get out of here a little bit sooner. We're going to skip over news and notes today. We figure we pretty much flush all that stuff in our analysis of the injuries for the week when we go through the matchups. So we're going to try that this week. We're going to jump straight into transactions. In our league, we actually had a trade, first one of the year. Then we're going to go into our matchups of the league, and we're going to do a little bit more of a streamlined process on that one too. You guys got anything else to add, or we want to move into our transactions?
Let's do it.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
Alrighty, only four ads this week. Tyler, still, we're going to start at the bottom. The Reapers added for $0 Jaden Reed, the rookie receiver for Green Bay. I actually want you to just kind of discuss this one because I thought about throwing him onto my list too. What do you feel about Jaden Reed going forward?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking Rob. I think Jaden Reed has passed the eye test. You know, he was taken a little bit higher than people thought. I think he was like pick number 50 or something like that for the Packers. And, you know, wasn't really on my radar a ton for like dynasty rookie drafts. He was always kind of priced out from where I wanted to be. But he's looked good on the field. Looks like he has a rapport with Jordan Love. So, you know what? I needed receivers. I'm a little bit shallow at receivers. So I'm like, hey, you know, let's take a flyer on a guy that and this one was a contingency one on not getting Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams was my number one priority. And so I'm like, let's take a flyer on a different guy if I don't get Jameson.
There you go.
Yeah, I thought we'll hit on Jameson Williams as you bring him up. I thought that he was on a team. When was he?
Yeah, I drafted him with like my last pick in the draft just to take a flyer. And I let him go before his thing got reduced down to four games when it was still six. Because I needed the room. And it was just
okay.
Like,
I could have sworn I might have been looking in a different league. I could have sworn I looked for him the other day and he was on a roster, so I didn't even put it a bid in. And then when I saw he was added this morning, I was like, what? I thought he was on a roster. I must have been thinking about something else.
Yeah,
but he went for $6 to cut my teabags dropping Joshua Kelly for the Chargers.
Yeah, which is sad because he put a pretty penny on Joshua Kelly, who turned out to be garbage. And now he throws $6 to get a guy to drop the guy he spent big money on. So, I mean, yeah, Jameson Williams, I'll just go back to what you were talking about when I was going to say I let him go, like between, I think, week two and three, because it just dawned on me that this guy may still not play this year, or he might play. And well, here's what will happen. He'll play. He'll have like a big catch, and then he'll hurt his hamstring again or something like that, and he'll be out the rest of the year. So I don't trust him, and that's why I was willing to let him go. But go ahead, Cup. Take a shot. I mean, he's worth the try. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, what? How many games did Jameson Williams play last year? Like five, maybe something like that?
It was either four or five at the end of the year,
The whole time he had one catch. And granted, it was exactly what you expect out of Jameson Williams, one for 41 and a touch, right? But, you know, yeah, like you're saying, it's like even if he comes back and even where we're at now, like what is he? And it's like, is he an upgrade over, you know, the field stretchers they have now, which I think is Josh Reynolds? Is he an upgrade over that, over like a Marvin Jones? Yeah, probably, at least for the NFL team. For fantasy, probably, but we don't know.
Yeah, we don't. And the way Detroit does things is they don't just like throw a guy. I mean, they haven't thrown their first round pick out there to dominate carries because they like what Montgomery brings. And they have a role for the rookie. I think they have a role for him. And I still think that Josh Reynolds is going to play just like he did. And he's shown that he can be a guy that gets you 5 for 60 or, you know, 4 for 80, whatever. I just don't think he's all going to step on the field and take that number two role, which is what people who paid for him are hoping.
Yeah. Sticking with the Lions, the T-Bags also add the defense for $4, dropping the Browns defense, bailing on that train.
Well, they're on a bye this week. And so he had to do something. And they have a good matchup against Carolina in Detroit. And Detroit, I mean, has played much better on defense. So I get it. And their running game struggling. So, yeah, I get that pickup.
Aiden Hutchinson over 1.25 sacks, over under.
Over.
Over.
Yeah.
I added the Hot Snakes, Jaleel McLaughlin for the Denver Broncos for $13. I'm finally bailing on the Tank Bigsby train.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like this. I like this pickup for you. And granted, I don't know how much fab you have left. Oh, you have. So you had about 80 fab left when you did this. You know, the thing with McLaughlin, just because I was involved in some trade talks around McLaughlin in a dynasty league this week. And so I was kind of doing some deep dive on him. And it's like, you know, he was undrafted. He's another one of those guys that it's like, dynasty wise, he's probably nothing, but he has the opportunity now. And is he going to capitalize on it? He did last week. Is he going forward? Who knows? You know, but in a really, like, if you needed somebody, a running back this week, he was your guy. And, you know, I'm in a really, really, like, shallow redraft league, like shallow for waivers. And I dropped $32 on him. And this is the league where, Palmer. Josh Palmer. This is how shallow this league is. Josh Palmer went for 64 last week after the injury because there's no one out there. Right. And so, you know, I don't hate this pickup as just a flyer. And hey, let's see if they ramped up. Who's their starter?
Javonte is the starter. Yeah.
Yeah. Did they ramp up Javonte too fast? And now, you know, he's hurt and is this going to become a longer term thing? And,
No, I like it too. It's a good, and it's right at the right amount of dollars. I mean, I wouldn't want to spend much more than 15 on the guy.
Yep.
You know, as that kind of, because he is risky, he might not, there's a chance he doesn't even play this week, you know, that Javonte's fine and whatever. But it's good value and good take a shot.
Lastly, we have Michael Wilson, who was my number one target here for this waiver run. I thought 27 was almost too much, but the corn wieners dropped $36 on him.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. I mean, granted, the guy has increased his target and his output each week to where he obviously had a great week this last one. But yeah, that's a lot of money. I think that's most of what the corn wieners had left. I think I'm not exactly sure, but that had to have been 70% of the fad they had left that they blew on the one guy. So, I mean, it's What was funny about it to me is that he just made a trade, traded a quarterback for a quarterback and a receiver, and then he spent that much fab on another receiver. That just seemed slightly odd, but, you know, he knows his team, so.
Yeah, I mean, I like Michael Wilson. He's another guy that has certainly passed the eye test early on. The only concern I have is this offense we know is going to change drastically when Kyler comes back. And what does that actually look like when you have a brand new quarterback? Well, not a brand new quarterback, but a new quarterback to this offense in there. And, you know, are you investing a third of your fab in a guy that the new quarterback might not like, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my only discussion further there is, when do you think Kyler does come back? Does he come back this year if the Cardinals keep being competitive, God forbid, start winning some games that they're close in with Josh Dobbs? They've already said that they want to bring Kyler back slow. They don't want him rushing back. They're gonna, you know, take the time, make sure he's up to 100%. Like, that doesn't sound like they're trying to hurry him back to win games. They're like, you know what, we're trucking ahead, we're competitive now.
So here's why the Cardinals are not pushing Kyler Murray to get back is because he has injury guarantees in his contract. And so, again, we just talked about how Javonte Williams, they may have pushed him back too early and now he's injured. They, you know, we keep talking about this doomsday scenario with Arizona. And granted, now, you know, they won a game. So the Bears have two picks with no wins, but if the Cardinals are in a position to take Caleb Williams, they could cut Kyler and they would have to eat like $84 million. Right. But if he's injured, you can't do that because now next year is guaranteed the entirety of it. And so that's, you know, the main reason why they're going to be hesitant to bring him back quickly. I think, if they win another game or two, right, and it's very clear, like, hey, the Bears now are 0-7, right? And the Panthers are also 0-7. And it's like, hey, we're 3-4. It's like, okay, yeah, get Kyler fired up and let's see what we got. Let's see if it's not Steichen. Steichen's in Indy. Who's right. Gannon? Let's see if Gannon and Kyler, you know, let's see if they mesh. Let's see if their styles work together and, you know, see what we have going forward. And if, you know, we want to trade up with the two picks that they have with Houston and Arizona, their picks to go up and get like a Drake May, that sort of thing. Or if we want to stick with Kyler.
All right. Let's talk about our trade this week. We kind of alluded to it, Rob. So I'll list it out and then we'll get your opinions on it. And then we'll have Tyler talk about it from his perspective. So the Reapers traded Trevor Lawrence and Terry McLaurin to the Iowa Corn Wieners and received Patrick Mahomes. Everybody probably saw this come through last night.
Yeah.
I, for one, was shocked, shook, and upset. But how do you feel about it, Rob?
I mean, your first reaction is, oh, God, Patrick Mahomes for Trevor Lawrence and Terry McLaurin? Yippee-skippy. You know, that seems like a thrashing. So it's bad from the league standpoint in that now Tyler has the Kelce Mahomes stack. And if Kansas City starts to play better, it could be deadly. Here, I'll do the dissenting opinion here and say that Mahomes and Kelce have struggled thus far. They haven't put up the kind of numbers that they had before. Now, Trevor Lawrence has struggled as of late, but that's as much to do with matchups as anything else. And I believe the Corn Wieners, we know the receivers, when you draft a backup receiver and you have Odell Beckham as one of your draftees, you need receivers because now you don't, you know what I'm saying? So he needed a guy, and Terry McLaurin has actually been playing very well, and Dotson has not been what he was going to be. They haven't gone deep to him or any of that. It's been McLaurin has increased his target share every week. So I can see it. You know what I mean? I still think that Tyler won out on this, but I can see it. I can make the argument that it's not as bad as the shock value first gives you. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you. All right, Tyler, talk it out.
Yeah, so this was one where, obviously, I think everybody knows where I was coming from on my team, right? I'm sitting here with Kelce. I have a guy like Richardson who I'm comfortable playing if I need to. And so I'm like, Lawrence here kind of becomes redundant on my team because I'm going to be starting Richardson most of the time as it is. So why not go and get the stack with Kelsey? So that was obviously my goal there. And, you know, just went out and asked basically what he wanted. But, yeah, I think that, you know, obviously the stack there, I'm banking, like Rob said, on that Kansas City offense taking a turn. And there are some underlying metrics there that tell me that that's going to happen. Mainly their upcoming schedule. I don't know if you guys have looked at that. But let's see. Obviously,
Denver twice.
Minnesota, Denver, Chargers, Denver, Miami before the bye. So these next 5 weeks are looked to be, you know, it's one of those put up or shut up times. And since it's the Chiefs, I'm more than confident that it's going to be put up and not, you know, go bad.
All right. yeah, if we're just for the record, I'd say, yeah, Tyler, I think you won this trade. And yeah, as the day's gone on, I've kind of agree with what you're saying, Rob. I've tempered on it a little bit, but I still don't think you should give the person who has Kelsey the Mahomes stack. I think that's short-sighted at best.
Yeah, I think in talking with Sam, I think he has regrets of not asking for more after realizing that I had the Kelsey stack. Because, yeah, I think he realized what I had, a player, and I don't want to blow up his spot because I know that he's now making other moves. But I know that I have a player that he looked at and said, ooh, I should have asked for this player because he would have fit in well versus getting McLaurin and now, you know, swapping out a receiver to find a running back, that sort of thing.
All righty. I'd say let's get into these matchups. Try out this new little streamline.
Go Bulldogs!
Yale Bulldogs!
Wow.
Not so fast!
Alrighty, our first matchup this week is the 3-1 Cut My Teabags up against the 1-3 Iowa Corn Wieners. Currently, the Teabags are favored by 25.
Ouch.
148 to 123. So what we're doing this week is I'm going to start off with me and Tyler. We're going to go through an entire starting lineup and list it out. I'll list out the lineup for Teabags first. And then Tyler, you and I are going to talk about, take a look at their bench and see what their most optimal lineup that we think, or just kind of analyze the team as if we were the manager here. So,
like, I don't want to be remiss here. We do need to include our sponsors here because we do have sponsors for our matchups. This week's matchup is brought to us by Taylor Swift's PR team for the NFL. Rob, why don't you tell us about Taylor Swift's PR team for the NFL?
Oh, Taylor Swift's PR team is doing a great job with the NFL. In fact, what they'd like to do is go into every broadcast and talk things down to all the Swifties so they can figure out what football is. You see, there's four downs to get 10 yards and blah, blah, blah. That's what the NFL is doing, making things dumber for you.
Thanks, Rob. Back to all you, right. Blake.
I appreciate the ad breaks, but if you could like time them a little bit more organically instead of like in the middle of what I'm doing over here, that just
well, listen,
great.
You just blew past our scheduled ad break.
There was no schedule.
All right. Well, I'll
that makes it even more organic, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just remember that we have another one later on.
Yeah. Screw you, Rob, for using my words against me.
Yeah. Both of you suck. Anyway, cut my teabags. They're starting out with CJ Stroud at Atlanta, Brian Robinson, and Kyren Williams, Tyreek Hill, and Chris Olave, tight end Jake Ferguson, and then in the flex, they've got Cooper Kupp, who's still on IR, but they've entered the window for him to return to practice, I think, right? I think
21 days
practice this week. I don't know. I'm not 100% on that one. Then we got Deebo Samuel here, and then the Lions defense.
Yeah,
so Tyler, what do you think about this starting lineup just as it sits right here?
I think there's a lot of upside on this starting lineup as it stands right now. I think, you know, Chicago's defense we know isn't good. So Brian Robinson is, you know, good start this week. Kyren Williams been getting all the love in Los Angeles. However, it's against Philly, and we know that they're more pass funnel this year, especially with the injuries they've had. Tyreek, Olave, I mean, not much to talk about there. That's great. And then, yeah, it gets down to Kupp and Deebo Samuel. Deebo obviously out there more as a decoy last week. You know, wasn't largely involved with that rib injury. What happens this week against the Cowboys? I actually think, I don't think either team gets to 20 points in this Dallas-San Francisco game. I think this is an easy under game. So I don't love, outside of the obvious Christian McCaffrey start and Tony Pollard, I don't really love anybody in this matchup. And then Cooper Kupp, yeah, if he plays this week against Philly, who, like I just said, was beat up, you fire him up and get ready for the points to come rolling in.
Yeah, so taking a gander at the bench there, you know, for the eventualities of, you know, whether you sit Deebo or Cooper Kupp doesn't play this week, how do you feel about George Pickens? Really down week for the Steelers in general last week. Like you said, with your mentality, Brandon Cooks probably is a non-starter. And then you're looking at Khalil Herbert or Cam Akers. Does either of those jive with you, Tyler? Cam Akers actually looked good in the Minnesota offense last week.
Yeah, I'm not playing Cam Akers until we see him take over more of that backfield. The only one here, you know, and like you said, with Brandon Cooks, I just think that the pass rush on both of these teams is going to so limit what the other team does downfield. Like, there, I don't know how either team completes a 20-yard pass. So that's kind of where I'm coming from here. As far as the running game, I don't remember how Washington is against the run. Oh, they are good against the run. Yeah,
they're pretty good.
I'm totally fine with Herbert being sat. And Pickens, you know, it comes down to the health of Pickett and whether or not he starts, whether Trubisky starts. But, yeah, I don't hate Pickens as a start, certainly. Baltimore could definitely use some more help in their secondary. So if you really need to, I don't hate that start. And I also wouldn't hate the Gabe Davis start.
Yeah. Against Jacksonville there.
Yep. In London town.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory on this one. You know, you're going to learn by Saturday, probably, with your flex positions there, if you need to plug some of the things in, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this lineup is very self-explanatory.
All right, Rob, the Cornwieners have their new quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, playing at Buffalo this week. The running backs, Saquon Barkley and Samaje Perine, Michael Pittman Jr. and Tutu Atwell at receiver. Tight end is TJ Hockenson, and their flex are Nico Collins and Terry McLaurin, with the defense of the Saints at New England.
I was just going to say, Trevor Lawrence at Buffalo, I don't like really anybody at Buffalo. We saw what they did to Miami last week. So I think the best you're hoping for is like 2-something and you hope a touchdown, maybe 2. So you're not going to get, you know, a great game. If Barkley's back, it'll be better for the Giants as a whole. And Miami is not exactly the greatest defense. So if Barkley plays, obviously that's a good play. P. Ryan's interesting because let's say that Williams doesn't play. The circumstance that the rookie running back had last week, I can't remember his name, Mick something or another.
There you picked go. Up? No, you nailed it.
McLaughlin?
McLaughlin, there you go, Mick something or another. If Mick something or another gets the start, then fine, hey, but P. Ryan's there, and he could start. What?
You McNailed it.
Yeah, thank McHugh. But in either case, I don't, you know, the Jets are a good defense, and so I don't particularly care either way. Tennessee stops the run. They do not stop the pass. Pittman's a great play. 2-2 will be fine. But again, if Cooper Kupp plays, and we all know that Puka Nacua is not going away, does it take away from 2-2? I don't know. Hawk's fine. Collins great. McLaurin should be great against Chicago and the Saints. So there's some holes in this starting lineup.
I have a question. I do just want to say before you go to your question, Tyler, I don't know if Sam, if you listen to this or I'll text you later, you need to move Terry McLaurin into your receiver spot.
Yep.
Because especially like just, I like it for aesthetics. He's a better receiver than Tutu Atwell, but he's playing on Thursday night. You want to get your Thursday night players into their designated spots, so you have the flexibility of the flex spot for Sunday. So just make that switch. It's going to make your life easier going forward.
Yep.
Yeah. Agreed.
So Rob, let me ask you this, since we have two Rams receivers in this matchup and Kyren Williams for that matter.
Yeah.
How do you feel like, with how good this Rams offense has been so far, how do you feel like this compares to the days of Kupp, Robert Woods, Bobby Trees, Brandon Cooks, and Todd Gurley? I mean, the name recognition isn't there, but God, it sure looks really similar right now.
I mean, yes. And I think it can support, just like it did in the past, supported all those players from a fantasy standpoint. I think it could support all of them as long as the offensive line holds up. And then you throw in there at the time, I don't think they had a tight end that was, you know, that they used that much because they didn't need to.
That would have been like rookie year Gerald Everett, right?
Yeah, probably. But Higbee is accomplished and, you know, is a good safety valve as well. So I don't know. Matt Stafford's not getting the touchdowns this year. He's only got three, but he's like, what, third in yards or something like that?
Yeah, he's on pace for like easily over 5,000 yards.
Yes. So they're doing very well. If they keep him healthy and the line protects a little bit more than they did when they played San Francisco, though, you know, everybody has problems with San Francisco. I worry about Dallas this week. Anyway, yes, I think that they could be compared to that. They just don't have the names yet.
All right, so Rob, quick, let's go through this bench and see if we can plug anything else in here. There's a few guys on bye. Do you trust T. Higgins or just the Cincinnati offense in general right now? Because I don't.
No to both. He says he's going to try to play with the broken rib, but I mean, I'm sure he'll take an injection, but you take a good shot in the rib cage. I mean, it's not like it's a strained, you know, like bad, you know, strained cartilage or something like that, where it's a pain tolerance. You can, if you have a fracture and you get hit there again, even wearing a flak jacket, you can make it worse.
Yeah. And, you know, we always say Vegas somehow gets stuff right more often than not, right? That's how they're profitable.
Right.
Vegas has the implied team total for Cincinnati at 24 points, which is what, 12 points higher than their average. So Vegas just continues to believe in Cincinnati here. And I don't know. When you see an outlier like that, where, you know, normally they're much closer, you kind of got to go, what do they know?
Yeah, you know? I don't know. But here's the thing I would do. I do like your newly acquired Michael Wilson. You spent the money on him. Rather than playing Tutu Atwell, where you're not sure how that's going to divvy out, especially if Cooper Kupp does play, I probably put him in because Cincinnati, I mean, they haven't really stopped much so far this year, have they, passing-wise?
They've been decent, but
they've like been middle of pack. I mean, especially since it's at home where Arizona seems to play well, I might take a shot. But otherwise, there's nothing else here that I'd write home about.
Yep, I agree.
You know, your best player is on a bye.
Yeah, unfortunately getting hit by some bad byes. You don't really have a good running back to replace in there, but let's pick them. You know, we're not going to go talk about who's head-to-head here. We went through both teams.
Yep.
I feel a lot better about the teabags this week.
Yeah, for me, it's the teabags. You want to go Tyler, or you want me to go Dice?
Go ahead and go Dice, because I'm trying to find a stat here.
Oh, and then you find out our results from last week, too, while you're doing that. It is even.
Oh, even. Let's see. So that is going to be all for Kupp so far. I am going to make it a clean sweep. Okay. I was thinking that Miami was not good against the run, but I think they're kind of middle of the pack. If they were bad against the run and Saquon played, I was going to say that makes it a lot closer. But like I said, I do like Cut my teabags team, especially with Cooper Kupp coming back.
If he comes back this week.
True.
All right.
But he has options if he doesn't.
Correct. Do we have a recap on last week?
Oh, yeah. While we're talking. So last week, Rob wins yet again with going 3-2. Blake and the Dice down at 1-4. And ooh. I was at 2-3. So on the season. Oh boy, the numbers are not good. Dice, yeah. 5-10. I am at 7-8. Blake is at 9-11, and Rob is at 11-9.
Okay, that's not good.
Not last.
All right, so Blake, who's our next matchup?
Our next matchup is your team, the Fantasy Reapers, at 3-1, projected 153 versus the Scary Terry at 1-3, projected 120.
This spooky matchup is brought to you by Backyard Gravy. Rob, tell us about Backyard Gravy.
Backyard Gravy. Have you ever gone into the backyard and wondered what that thing was bubbling up by that hole that's been there forever? Well, wonder no more. It's Backyard Gravy. Put it on a shrimp. Put it on a steak. Put it on your baked potato. It's fine. It's Backyard Gravy.
Thanks, Rob.
A shrimp is the first option that you think of?
That's just a commercial copy. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, sometimes I guess they put gravy on shrimp.
Oh, I love it. All right. So, Tyler, since you're here in this matchup, I'm just going to have you list down your starters and what you are thinking at the bench to plug in. So go for it.
Sure. So, obviously, I'm going with the Patty and Kelsey stack at Minnesota. As we talked about last week, and Blake, I don't know if you listened, but
I don't listen to you fucking idiots.
Well, beautiful. So I'm riding with the Miami stack of Mostert and A-Chain. Rather than playing the game of who's going to score this week, I'm just going, hey, between the both of you, give me 30 points, and I'll be happy with that. At receiver, I'm going Devonta Smith at the Rams and Hollywood Brown versus Cincy. And at our flexes, like we talked with Sam, I have a Sunday night game and a Monday night game. Tony Pollard at San Francisco and Joe Mixon at Arizona.
All right. Is this your optimal lineup, do you think? Are you got any question marks for you on your bench?
Well, so obviously prior to the trade, I was starting Anthony Richardson against Tennessee, pass funnel, you know, offense or pass funnel defense, I should say. You know, I still toy with that a little bit, but the stack is just too much to overcome. Calvin Ridley, I want to see it again. He came out and flashed week one and then has kind of fallen off. So we'll see. Outside of that, I just have a lot of kind of upside guys that I'm waiting on my bench. So I think I'm pretty locked in outside of, like I said, if I get frisky and decide to play Richardson over Patty, but I don't think I can make that trade and then do that.
Dude, that would be the dumbest thing you could do. Literally, right, so that would be thinking too hard.
I think Rob, Richardson has outscored Patty in the two fully healthy games that he's played.
Well,
Rob, we're looking at Scary Terry's team here. You could just kind of think of them as the injury express. Because their quarterback is Joe Burrow this week playing at Arizona. Najee Harris and James Conner at the running back spots, receivers of Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers running that Raiders receiver stack there, which I personally hate. Tight ends, Evan Ingram, he's playing at Buffalo. Their flex hasn't updated the lineup yet, so their flex is currently Chris Godwin being on a bye, and then Courtland Sutton playing against the Jets with the Steelers D.
Yeah, a gross starting lineup. I assume that obviously, he hasn't looked at this at all. That's why Burrow's still in there, and obviously why Godwin's still in there. So as it stands, it's gross and not fun to look at. There's like a couple of highlights. Two, Devontae Adams and Evan Ingram. Ingram, most people thought he'd get his big contract and he's not going to be as good as last year. Now he's been like the number two target consistently in almost every game. So, that's it. The rest is just gross.
Yeah. So, I mean, on your bench here, are you starting Russell playing at home against the Jets over Joe Burrow?
I mean, no. Because Burrow, okay. If it's me, I'm sticking with Burrow one more damn week and hope, you know, he's not on the injury report this week, just like he got out last week. And you got to hope that against Arizona, even though they're a bit improved, that with the talent they've got on offense, that he's got to be able to do something, certainly more than Russell Wilson can do against the Jets, because the Jets have a good defense and Denver's not good.
So who do you fill in to this other flex spot that we have Chris Godwin being on the bye? Because it's
you,
not
you're putting
Mitchell.
In, especially here's what you're doing. If Higgins does not play, hell, even if he does, Tyler Boyd should get a hell of a lot more looks. If you're bound and determined to play Joe Burrow, at least give yourself the option of a stack because you are playing from behind. I mean, it's a 30-point deficit, 33-point deficit. You got to give yourself every chance to, like, shoot for the moon. So I would put Tyler Boyd in here for sure.
Yeah, I think a little bit of work needs to be done on this roster. I'm not a fan of seeing, I mean, you have the Raiders receiver stack, like I mentioned, but also on the bench, you got Sky Moore and Rashee Rice down here. Neither of those people are helping you. At least ditch one of them, if not both. I don't know.
No, I mean, yes, I would do that. Who to pick, I don't know. And also, again, if you're shooting for the moon, maybe you play one of those, because if Patty Mahomes throws a bomb ski to Rashee Rice, at least you're getting some double things for it, right? I mean, you're getting some points while Tyler's getting points. You're offsetting that. So
it's a bit of an ugly team.
Yeah, you've got to mess with some stuff and just play your immensely upside players, because you're down 33 from the get-go.
So, yeah, this is a pretty easy pick. I think it's going to be a clean sweep across the board, except for the dice. It's going to be Reapers.
It's Reapers.
Yep.
And the dice say they went odd.
Ooh, they went with Terry.
Oh, okay. Bold move.
I will say, for Tyler's stat of the...
Though I moved the thing, it might have moved. I moved the thing to turn, so it could have been something else.
Oh, there you go. Tyler's stat of the matchup, if you have Dolphins running backs this week, play them. Giants are trash against the run. So you for sure got to get those Dolphins in. And for the Raiders side, I know that we talked about Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers both being in this lineup. I actually like the running backs there more than the passing game.
Alrighty. Our next matchup is the Hawaiian Shakas sitting at 3-1, projected 140, versus Fly Eagles Fly, also at 3-1, projected 149.
All right. So, well, I'll tell you what, this matchup is brought to you by Shower Keurig. Rob, why don't you tell us about Shower Keurig?
Shower Keurig. What we do here is we put a little cup in the shower drain after you take a shower, and then you take that and you put it in your Keurig pot and you brew yourself some shower coffee. Why wouldn't you want to? It's recyclable. Shower Keurig. The best juice is you.
God, that is one of the worst taglines I've ever heard.
Listen, Blake, stop bashing our sponsors.
Oh, by the way, I think you want to refresh my thing, because I don't think I'm predicted 149 anymore.
Why not?
Because I don't have a guy in that I had before.
Well, now my site's reloading.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He intentionally made his team worse?
Yeah, he sure did. All right, so Tyler, let's go through the Shakas. We've got Tua at home against the Giants at quarterback, Ramondre Stevenson and Jahmyr Gibbs at the running back position, Stephon Diggs, DJ Moore at the receivers, Darren Waller playing at tight end at Miami, CeeDee Lamb at San Francisco, and DeAndre Swift at the Rams for their flexes. Ravens D.
Yeah, let me ask you guys, let me start with this. Are you guys panicking on Jahmyr Gibbs after last week?
I mean, panic's a bad word.
I'm not panicking, because I was never of the thought that he was going to be like
a starter.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to be like, hey, he's taking over this offense. No, just like we talked about at the top of the show. They drafted him. Yeah, they love him, and they're very open about that. Detroit is. But they drafted him and picked him and loved him for a role, specifically.
Correct. Yes.
And they're working him into that role. That role is not the every-down workhorse, the goal-line guy like Montgomery is.
100%. You said it right there.
I'm not panicked. If I was somebody who was a different mindset and drafted him to be a RB2 starter every week in, week out in fantasy, oh, hell yeah, I'd be panicked.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the difference, is whether or not you have him, right? But, you know, I think you're firing up both him and Montgomery against Carolina. I think the Lions handle business this weekend. You know, Ramondre is a little bit scary. It's weird. So New Orleans has historically been a good run defense. However, I don't hate the running backs this week. I don't know if it's just a feeling I have or what, but you need to see it from Ramondre, because it's getting bad and it's getting scary for him. At receiver, obviously firing up Stephon Diggs. You know, DJ Moore has looked good even with that offense being trash, so I'm fine with that. Waller's been terrifying. Terrifyingly bad.
That's a good word.
Rest of the Giants. So, I mean, I can't imagine if you drafted Waller, you have any better options, and Monty doesn't. So that's why he's playing him. like I said, I'm a little bit scared of CD, but CD is one that tends to get it done week in, week out, no matter, you know, matchup wise, everything like that. I didn't look at what, you know, DeAndre Swift, ever since that big breakout against Minnesota, has been very, very consistent and evolved in the pass game. So I absolutely love that. Love that matchup. And, you know, I actually think that the running backs have a little bit better matchup than the wide receivers do for Philly this week. Getting down into the bench, obviously Javonte is on the bench. He's hurt. I don't see a way you get him into your lineup, even if he plays. Antonio Gibson, what a letdown that's been.
Right.
Riverboat Ron, I don't think is going to have a job after this year.
Tyler, I want to bring up Jared McKinnon here on the bench. Yeah. At Minnesota, I think that's a good matchup for him. Had two receiving touchdowns against Chicago 2 weeks ago.
Yep. 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Do we like him more than Gibbs or Ramondre?
No. He'll, the other two will get way more volume unless you're guaranteeing me that McKinnon gets into the end zone. And even then, if all he does is get into the end zone, which is all he did 2 weeks ago, that, no, I'm not going anywhere near it.
No.
Okay.
Because Gibbs is going to get you 10 regardless.
Yeah. The only reason I bring it up is because I don't really see a lot, like any kind of moves you're making on this bench, unless you really want to get Jared Goff into the starting lineup against Carolina versus Tua against the Giants.
No.
No, I would take Tua.
Yeah. So that's the only reason why I bring it up, because there's really nothing you're moving around here.
Yeah. Even if the Detroit Carolina game is closer than what we think it's going to be, and even if Miami blows the doors off of the Giants with the running game. I mean, even in the Denver game, we saw that Tua was valuable. Even if you take away his four touchdowns, he had 309 yards passing and they blew the fucking doors off Denver. So
yep.
What Tua 466 yards, 249, 309, 282. I mean, he's as close of a lock to high 200 yardage that you're going to get.
Yeah. All right, Rob, what do you got in your starting lineup, and what are you thinking about your team this week?
I mean, I got, of course, I'm playing Lamar. Of course, I'm playing McCaffrey. Aaron Jones against Vegas should eat. Now they got his feet wet last week. AJ Brown, Puka Nacua. I'm putting out Musgrave. He practiced. I assume he'll clear the concussion protocol, and so I like him also against Vegas. While against the Giants, they can't stop anything. Zay Flowers with the stack. And the Chiefs against Minnesota, because we know that Minnesota hangs onto the ball too long, and we're going to get a strip sack out of that and maybe a touchdown return. So that's what I'm going with. And then my bench, you know, I got Walker on a bye, so I can't touch that. The only person I'd even touch here is maybe Brandon Ayuk, but I think the same thing. So Brandon Ayuk is when they want to go downfield. And if you're not going to be able to get downfield, and it's more of a McCaffrey game, then I don't see Ayuk having a game like he did last week, 6 for $1 something. You know, he might get some underneath stuff, but I just don't see him having that kind of game. So
I'll tell you what, Rob, and yeah. You know, this may ease your mind a little bit. I love Zay Flowers this week. Zay Flowers is one of the best receivers against man coverage this year, and Pittsburgh plays man coverage a lot.
And I like the stack then again with Lamar. And I think Zay has a better chance of getting in the end zone than Ayuk does. So,
Rob, you should run from Zay Flowers this week. Tyler likes a receiver.
You're right.
In the long term. It's only in the dynasty sense.
That's true.
If I like a receiver, they're gone forever. Although I did just hit on Nico Collins. So I did cash that chip.
He did. And I did make one move today. Goodbye Danny Dimes. Plus, he had the same bye week as Lamar. I decided to pick up Matt Stafford.
Well, we were just talking about that yardage, and in our league where you get the bonus, I actually didn't even think about checking if he was – well, obviously, I heard that stat after I had Patrick Mahomes, so I didn't even think about checking to see if he was out there.
Yep, he was. I think Cup, whatever he's calling himself now, T-Scroats. Dropped him.
Yeah, you freaking McNailed it again.
McLovin.
I'm going to go and pick this first with the Fly Eagles Fly. I was thinking through it that entire time I was talking, and I think I'm going to go with you, Rob.
Oh boy. This is a tough one. I mean, Rob obviously with McCaffrey. McCaffrey is back to being literally God in fantasy. So you can't bet against McCaffrey. You know, it's a 3-1 anytime. And it's just a matter of can Hawaiian Shaka's, you know, specifically his flexes, keep up and outpace yours. And I just think that the upside, you still have the upside there, Rob, to stay ahead. So I'm going with Fly Eagles Fly as well.
I'm going to too. I have, instead of like last year where I picked against myself constantly just to, you know, try to be the harbinger of good luck, I don't believe in that this year, and I've been actually picking how I feel. So I think I'm like half and half with me, 2-2. So I'm going to pick me this week. And the dice is odd.
All right. That's another queen sweep.
Wow. All
right. Our next matchup is the 1-3 Kegerator, currently projected 147, versus Here's Tubby at 0-4, projected 138.
All right, and this matchup of big ol' fatzos is brought to you by the biggest new board game by Hasbro, Hay and a Needle Stack. Rob, why don't you tell us about this new board game?
Oh, well, this new board game, Hay and a Needle Stack?
Yeah.
Is great for the kids, especially if you'd never want to see them again. It's called Hay and a Needle Stack, excuse me. What you do is you put a piece of hay and a bunch of needles, and you have the kids go for it. They'll bleed to death before you get back to them, and you don't have to deal with them anymore. Perfect.
No, Rob, I think we're remiss to leave out that Hay and a Needle Stack is brought to you by the developer is actually Back Alley Barbecue. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
So why don't you tell us about how that ties in?
Well, how that ties in? I don't know. Why you know by? Either one.
Oh, I was the more best so...
part. Well, the best part is you know the secret sauce for Back Alley Barbecue?
What's that?
Well, now you know.
Back Alley Barbecue does also supply the needles.
That too. And they're totally not used drug needles. Don't worry about that.
All right. Let's move on from this. Tyler, let's roll down the Kegerators team here. We got Jalen Hurts at the Rams for their quarterback, James Cook and David Montgomery for their starting running backs, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and receiver. Amon-Ra is carrying a questionable tag, but he almost always is. Kyle Pitts. Tyler, I really want to hear you hit on Kyle Pitts quite a bit on this breakdown. Flexes of Damian Pierce and Jerry Jeudy with the Dolphins defense.
All right. Well, let me go top down here because I'll save my Kyle Pitts hatred. Obviously at the backup quarterback, you have Dak. We already talked about that game. I don't think you're playing a ton of people, you know, so Jalen Hurts, love it. James Cook against Jacksonville. I'm trying to remember here, you know, Jacksonville is more of a pass funnel offense. Now James Cook is one of those pass catching running backs, but only one reception and two receptions last 2 weeks. So, you know, I don't know if this is the week for him, but you know, yeah, we'll see. David Montgomery, smash play. Great. Justin Jefferson, of course. Amon-Ra St. Brown popped up on the injury report today. Did not practice with an abdominal injury. So that's different than the turf toe that he had earlier. So I think we've seen through his career that he's a guy that kind of always has something. You know, I don't know if he's like the next Julio sort of thing where it's like, it's always something and you always have to watch it, but then he goes out and produces.
Yeah.
Going into the flexes, Damian Pierce has been a huge disappointment this year. And, you know, going against Atlanta, they are run friendly. So I'm fine with the matchup. I don't want anything to do with Denver. I had no pieces of Denver and I still don't. And so I haven't been paying attention to how they've been doing on offense. So can't tell you there. Looking down at the bench, Gallup, same thing. We've talked about it. Roshan, if you think that Khalil Herbert isn't the guy this week, then maybe you put in Roshan for someone, but meh. I think you have your best lineup, or at least close to it here. And then you have Kyle Pitts.
Here we go.
This man.
Let it all out. Let it all out.
I mean, listen, I don't know if it's Kyle Pitts' fault.
It's obviously not a tight end's availability issue. Jonnu Smith was a big boom last week.
Listen, so the only thing that I will say is there were rumblings before the season that Kyle Pitts was behind schedule coming back from that. I think he tore his MCL. And you almost never nowadays hear that a guy is behind schedule. You know, we had like the Michael Thomas thing, which was pretty shocking that, you know, he kind of like came back and then was out again and then had to go get surgery again. And so you hear Kyle Pitts is behind schedule. Okay, well, it's an MCL, so like you should be okay. I don't know. I don't know if he's not 100% or if it's just the coaching staff not knowing how to use him. I mean, they're lining him up, you know, kind of in the slot, kind of in that Jimmy Graham role sort of thing. And I don't know. I don't know what it is right now. And I don't know if there's an answer. I do know that if you have Kyle Pitts in a redraft league or even in a dynasty league, obviously in a dynasty league, he shouldn't be your only tight end. And he is on this roster. And I mean, it's a glaring hole for this Kegerator team that is what sitting here at 1-3. It's like, dude, you have an easy thing to fix. Sitting at 1-3, you have a hole on your roster. Just go fix it. Just do what it takes to fix the hole on your roster.
So a little bit more broad, Tyler, talking redraft in general, is Kyle Pitts worthy of being on a redraft roster at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I'm sitting here with Travis Kelce, and if Kyle Pitts got dropped, I would pick him up and have him just ride my bench. And I think that's the perfect spot, because if all of a sudden, so here's the other part, Desmond Ridder, his leash is fucking burning up. And if all of a sudden Taylor Heinicke is the starter in 2 weeks, we know what having a new quarterback in there, and now you're putting a veteran quarterback in that, you know, we know will chuck it down the field, and we know we'll just say, hey, go deep and go get it. And you know who can go deep and go get it if he's healthy? Kyle Pitts, Drake London. Like, I'm holding out a little bit of hope with these Atlanta guys that Atlanta realizes that they want to win, and they will realize that Desmond Ridder is Marcus Mariota. Desmond Ridder is what Marcus Mariota is now. He's not even like Marcus Mariota at his peak, and that's not an NFL caliber starting quarterback.
All right, Rob, let's look at the Tubbies team here. Jordan Love, that quarterback at the Raiders. Josh Jacobs in the same game, and Alvin Kamara at running back. Jamar Chase at New England or at Arizona, and Christian Watson at the Raiders also. Dallas Goedert at the Rams. Flexes of Travis Etienne at Buffalo and Curtis Samuel at Chicago with the 49ers D against Dallas.
So, I mean, I get why I'm fine with the running back positions, though. I mean, Kamara didn't do great running last week, but he got like a ton of catches. So you're playing those. That's fine. Jamar Chase, sure. You can't bench him. I get why you're playing Christian Watson in his second game back, because you're playing Jordan Love, but I think you've got better options. Goddard is the squeaky wheel that might get the grease this week. They're saying they want to get him more involved because he hasn't been. So I see a great game for him. I have no idea why Curtis Samuel's in this lineup.
Yeah. So I was looking down here at the bench. Really, your weak spots are your receiver positions. Let me list off.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me the three. Yeah, give me three. There's three that you could replace the two with
down here. So Christian Kirk at Buffalo.
Yes, 100%. Christian
Kirk has been the number one or number two target for Trevor Lawrence in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Adam Thielen at Detroit.
Yes.
Adam Thielen's been just a ball hog for Bryce Young out there.
Actually two of them, the Red Rocket,
yeah,
2 weeks ago, and then Bryce Young when he came back.
And then there's also a little bit of, what do you think, Bobby Trees at Atlanta,
or even Michael Thomas? I mean, you've got a number of spots down here, but let's take the top two, Christian Kirk and Adam Thielen. I think easily, I know you want to stack, but Watson had two catches. Yes, he scored a touchdown. But, you know, Green Bay's starting to get healthy. And there's a lot of – and Aaron Jones is coming back at probably 100%. He was on a snap count last week. It showed. He only ran – like had six carries. He's probably going to be full go this week. I just don't want to depend on Watson, especially in a spot where I'm 0-4 and I'm losing, you know, in the matchup so far. So I'm not playing him, and I'm not playing Curtis Samuel just because he had, you know, one good game last week. I'm putting in Christian Kirk, and I'm putting in Adam Thielen in both those spots because they've been more consistent.
I believe Blake is muted.
Blake, I think you muted yourself.
Or unplugged his mic.
One of the two. Let's hit it. Hey, so Tyler, you think what I said is true? Yes. Of course it is.
Stop.
What's happening?
What is going on? Are we good?
Hey, you're back. Yeah, you're back good to live now. Action. Let's do it.
Okay. My computer just like, hey, you're having a mic issue, and then it just freaked out. Before we go into the picks here, we forgot to look at, this is the downside of not doing news and notes at the top. But in the IR spot on the Kegerator is Jonathan Taylor, activated this week, practice in full today.
Yeah. I mean, today was their walkthrough day, like their simulated practice or whatever, where they have to put out a practice report, even though they didn't actually practice. And so they basically listed him as a estimated full participant.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the question becomes is, has that relationship, I'm almost wondering if it's like Jonathan Taylor's looking at this team and going, oh shit, for the first time since I've been here, we have a competent quarterback and a competent head coach. And maybe that's changing things about whether he wants to stay or not.
Yeah.
Or did his team go out when they requested a trade and found no one was interested in the price that they would have to pay to get him? And when they went out and said, hey, how much would you give us to re-sign after trading for me? You know, I don't know if they were happy with that number. So I don't know. To me, it looks more likely that Jonathan Taylor plays for the Colts this season than it did 2 weeks ago. I don't know. What about you, Rob?
I mean, I believe he does. Whether it's this week or in a week or two, I don't know. This week, let's say he plays this week. It's a terrible matchup against Tennessee. Yeah. They're really good against the run.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't expect Jonathan Taylor things from him, even if he plays, because fine, he's practiced, but he can't be in football shape by any stretch of the imagination. And if they play him, I would think they would be smart. Well, maybe they wouldn't be. Maybe they don't care about him. Right. And they wouldn't put him on a snap count. And they're just like, yeah, hey, we're running you in the ground. Oh, if you get hurt, who cares? Whatever. He would just be hard to trust. So.
Yep. Alrighty. Oh, fuck. My knee. Let's pick this one. Tyler, why don't you kick us off?
Oh, boy. I mean, here's Tubby has been bad this year, and it's mainly because of Ja'Marr Chase. But you have Alvin Kamara back, who just got 13 fucking catches last week. Granted, right, for 33 yards, what the fuck?
Well, who cares? That's right. 13 points alone. That's 13 alone.
Catches. Josh Jacobs, I think I already talked about that. That's a good matchup for him.
Yeah.
You know, man. I'm still going to go with Kegerator, but if there was a week, it might be this one for Tubby to get their first win.
All right, let's go Dice second, since they've always gone last or second to the last. The Dice is even.
Let's also go on Keg. Right,
let's go on Keg. Blake, you want to go or you want me to go?
No, Rob, it's all you.
All right, so as it stands, I'd go Keg. If Tubby makes the changes I talked about, putting Kirk and Thielen in instead of Watson and Curtis Samuel, I'm going Tubby. Now, do I believe that he listens to this podcast and is intelligent enough to make those changes? If it's ever a time for you to make a move, Tubby, this is it. I've picked the Kegerator twice and been burned. So I'm going to go Tubby, and maybe this is a reverse thing for Kegerator to win, but let's go Tubby.
Ooh, I didn't see that happening because I thought I was going to be alone on Tubby because that's where I'm
Ride or die, baby.
All right, our final matchup this week for the Commissioner's Cup, currently held by the Fighting Hedgehogs. They are 3-1, projected 100 points. Methinks they have some people on bias on their team.
You think?
Playing against my team, the Hot Snakes, I'm 2-2, and I projected 123.
All right, this Commissioner's Cup matchup is brought to you by the demon that you see when you take too much Benadryl. Rob, why don't you tell us about this product?
Well, this product is self-explanatory. I mean, if you take too much Benadryl, the demon that you see is yourself in the mirror acting the fool. So what you should do is just take half of this, and then you see the demon that you used to be, which was that guy yesterday that was the guy that yelled at the guy in traffic and then got beat up by the guy, by the school walk girl. So it's not as bad. If you take two of these, oh my God, you'll probably see your mom and you do it in a bed or something. And then that's the devil you don't want to be. So take us at your own peril.
Yeah, but if you only take one, then the allergies will get you.
Which is better? The allergies are doing it with your mom. I can not tell.
All right. Tyler, we need to look into our sponsors and adjust these a little bit.
Listen, you take who you can get with sponsors. Apparently, you guys are getting paid.
All right. At quarterback for actually, you know what? I'm going to have you two go down, list through the Hogs, discuss amongst yourselves, and then I'll talk about my team.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay. So
obviously, shut up.
Why don't you take a Benadryl?
Herbert is
look
on
at yourself, you demon.
So we are playing Kirk Cousins against Kansas City.
100%.
This is actually a tough bye for, who are we talking about? Hedgehogs, because Herbert's the number two quarterback on the year. Herbert's been fucking fantastic this year.
Yeah, he is.
At running back, Bijan against Houston. Love it.
Yep.
Alexander Mattison against KC. What are you looking at there, Rob?
I mean, you know, KC's decent. A decent defense. They're upper mid. Mattison had a good game last week. I will say that. He didn't leave you wanting more like he had the first three, but I don't love it.
All right. At receiver, I'm just going to go ahead and assume. Let's go Garrett Wilson at Denver and Tank Dell versus Atlanta. You know, the Garrett Wilson train hasn't been fun this year by any means. Of course, you thought you were getting Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson.
Right.
But it's been serviceable with Zach Wilson. So, you know, I think you continue to ride that. And Tank Dell has been very good.
He had an off week last week from what you've expected the prior two, but I think he'll be fine. Yes.
All right. Mark Andrews at Pittsburgh. Obviously, you got to fire him up.
He's back.
So then you and I just have to decide the flexes here. So right now there's Isaiah Pacheco at Minnesota. Other options are Jahan Dotson. Do you think he has a bounce back game against Chicago?
I do not.
Cole Kmet is currently the tight end three.
Washington's really good against tight ends.
Tyler Algier versus Houston. I believe you're already starting Bijan, so you probably don't want to double up there. You're just handcuffing. No. Gus Edwards, the starter against Pittsburgh.
Maybe.
Or Chuba Hubbard, who you're not going to start against Detroit. So out of that group, Rob, I think we have what? Lazard, Dotson, Kmet, Pacheco. What are you looking at there?
Well, I'm not starting Lazard because I'm already starting Garrett Wilson. And if you start two jet receivers, that's at your own peril. So he's out. So are you going Dotson or Kmet? You know, if Dotson's going to have a breakout game, it'll be against Chicago, right?
You would think so.
So, yeah, either one. Let's take the upside of the receiver and go Jahan Dotson, even though they haven't been throwing deep to him.
Do you find a way to get Gus Edwards into this lineup?
Well, I mean, you could do that instead of Dotson. You know, you move Tank Dell up there into where DK is, and you put him into your flex. So it's really a choice between Dotson and Edwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over to you, Blake.
All right. Yeah. So I've got Josh Allen at quarterback. Pretty solid. Derrick Henry and Breece Hall are my running backs. Breece Hall from the coaching staff, no longer on a snap count over in the Jets.
Yeah. It is the Breece Hall breakout week, by the way. I've been trying to get him from you for two weeks. And Breece Hall, I'll dollar bet anybody on this. Breece Hall over 20 points. Easy.
Ooh, I'd love it.
I think you're pretty close, yeah.
Receivers this week are a little bit more disappointing. I'm throwing out DeAndre Hopkins and Drake London. Tight end Sam Laporta. Flex is Jaylen Warren and Romeo Dubs with the Cowboys defense at San Francisco. So, yeah, I've got Amari Cooper and Mike Evans on a bye. That's kind of hurting my receiver situation. I'm benching Kittle for now. I like the Lions offense a lot better this week than San Francisco's for reasons we've talked about already.
Yeah, I would too.
Josh Downs, Jonathan Mingo, Justice Hill's injured. Julio McLaughlin, he might find a way into this lineup depending on the news of that backfield as the week goes on. But really, once I can get Austin Eckler back, this team's going to be fucking steaming.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you can't start Julio McLaughlin this week, or if you aren't starting him, assuming, you know, we get the news that we expect that Javonte is going to be either limited or out, then that was a wasted $13 because, you know, you're not expecting him to be like the true handcuff here. So, yeah, I think if Javonte is, you know, you get the news that he's done for the week. Sorry, not done. Then Julio has to be in your lineup. Otherwise, that was not a good pickup.
Yeah, you would put him in instead of Warren, probably.
Exactly. He'll go on instead of Jaylen Warren. So that's just kind of a wait and see. Yeah, that's all I really got as far as my team goes. You guys want to pick this last one?
I got to think.
Oh, boy.
So you.
I don't have to think. Fuck Blake. I'm going Hedgehogs.
You know what? I'm going to go Blake. I do think Breece Hall has a great game. Where your problem is your receivers, but I don't think Garrett Wilson is going to have that great a game against Denver. I think Breece Hall has a chance of having a much better game. Yeah. Give me Blake by hair.
Ooh, I'm going to go Hogs. I'm going to go against myself this week.
And it's an even.
All right, that's a hog. So Blake on Rob on an island there.
I think I was on an island on two picks today. So
you were not. You were going to be on an island with Tubby, but then Blake followed.
Oh, then Blake followed me. Okay. All right. There you go.
Yep. All right, boys. That's all we got this week. Unless you have some other last minute additions, otherwise I can. How did you guys close out the show last week?
The same as we've closed out every show. We try to take over the world.
Thank you to our valued sponsors.
Yes, thank you. They were great. Thank you for the copy that you gave me to read for all these.
So I'm just going to go. Ba-da-da-da-da,
small world!
Thanks, guys, for listening.